Let's swing in final session. And everybody okay? Everybody all right? Yes? Quite a nice way to spend a Saturday. Yeah. Especially that last bit. But you're not dependent on apples and cream and all. Not at all. Not at all. You can just you can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You took it. And we took it. Fantastic. I know you. I saw the fourth one you had, but not the first one. Yeah. It's good. So anything interesting arising in your conversation? Any revelations, insights, deep intuitions? Or was it just completely confusing?
Clarity?
Or were you just talking about the weather?
No.
No. Okay.
And we were complaining about the weather.
Complaining about the weather, that's better. Sorry, it's much more honest. Fantastic. Yeah. So it's a big question, getting a sense of what's happening in the future. And when you live in that question, and don't try and pin down an answer, but the sense of what's coming will change. Because the secret is what's informing your awareness, what's informing it. And if fear informs it, fear of losing, then that will taint it. It will probably make it a dark sense of what's coming in the future. And so that's why the spiritual journey is sometimes called the journey of awakening. And you awaken to deeper truths which already exist in you. And when you awaken to those deeper truths, you get a different sense of what the future is going to bring. And of course, always at the heart of that is, well, what is my place? What am I here to do? Or what role am I going to play? And in that, you always have that choice. You always have a choice as to the role you would like to play. And that changes too. That changes too. Any questions? Anything not clear, not working so far, and anything we've covered today, or anything coming up or going down? Right. Okay. So what I thought we'd do is just finish with something a little bit more kind of groundy, practical, in your life right now, and maybe something you can take away that you can apply, that you can apply. I'm going to give you a piece of paper, just one sheet of paper. You just need to take one page. If you already have a notebook, you don't need a piece of paper. You probably do with an iPad. Yeah, we can work in the old-fashioned way. If you already have a notepad, you don't need a piece of paper. Otherwise, take one and just pass it along. Just take one and pass along. If you already have a pad, that's okay. Yes, you've all got pads. You've all got, my goodness, very good students. Goodness me. I've never seen, yep, there's a one requirement there. And then just pass one back. Yeah, that's fine. Do you have a piece of paper? Yeah, and you guys have got something. Okay, good, great. Very good. And if you just have a piece of paper, you just have a piece of paper, you just fold it like that. And you fold it in half again. Only if you have this single piece of paper. Not if you have your own pads. You don't do this. You don't do this. Just if you have the one single sheet of paper and nothing else, you just do that and you do that. Okay? You just fold it in half and then... No. Just if you just have this. Only if you have this piece of paper.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's good. So now, let's just do the very foundation of everyday life. The process of everyday life. And the one thing every human being is doing all the time, you told me this morning, apart from breathing, is
thinking.
Yeah, you're thinking. Because you are a creative entity. And unfortunately, no one ever teaches us how to think. Amazing, actually. They teach us how to remember. That's what school is, isn't it? It's about memory, but not really how to think. Only you create your own thoughts. Is that true? No. Someone else is in there? Do we have a psychiatrist in the house? You're the psychiatrist, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not, of course, the master, I'm not on top.
Oh, okay.
I'm so influenced.
You said no. Okay. You're influenced, but then who chooses?
I choose.
You choose. So you're the creator? Always. Fantastic. I think you're just pulling my leg. And so then that usually triggers something called a feeling. And it might be an emotion that you feel. Only you create your own feelings. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes? Again, this means yes. This means no. Yes? Everybody okay with that? Fantastic. Yes?
Well, it's about the thoughts.
Yes.
You have your conscious and your subconscious mind.
Yes.
So the thoughts are mainly coming from the belief, from the
subconscious
mind.
Yes.
So even I don't know where they're coming from,
yes,
I am still the creator, just not the conscious creator.
Still the creator, but very often not the conscious creator, absolutely. But you're still the creator.
Yeah.
You still take responsibility for your thinking. Yeah. So that's okay. That's good. And then I put thoughts and feelings together. It might be in an instant, subconsciously, unconsciously, but what do they then create?
An action.
Before action.
Attitude.
This is where attitude comes from. Essentially, my attitude towards yours is my thoughts and feelings that I have about you in my consciousness then shapes my attitude towards you, or the weather, or the government, or whatever. Then that shapes my action. And so I act in relation to you and towards you. And if I do the same action over and over again, day in, day out, week in, week out, what do I create?
Life,
yeah. Just a moment, don't go too fast. And you get habit. And this is, they say, 80% of our life is lived by habit. It's a classic 80-20. You get on the left-hand side of the bed, not the right. Put your socks on before your shoes, I hope. You put the milk in before the sugar. And so it's all kind of habit. Inside the computer is what? So you know you get what you want when you press the button. Inside the computer is a program. So habit of attitude, habit of action, habit of attitude, habit of feeling, habit of thought. They're just different levels of habit. And what do we get? Altogether, we don't call it program. We call it our personality. The matrix of the personality is all these tendencies and habits together. That's why your personality is completely different from mine. Everyone is unique because we create differently. Now I take my personality out into my journey through life, into all my relationships, and what do I create? What's at the end of every journey?
Death.
Some people say death at this point. Not very optimistic. Destiny. Thank you. So this reminds me that my destiny of today, where I am, what I'm doing, who's around me, the kind of person I am right now today, is entirely due to my thoughts last week, last year, 10 years ago. Maybe one word missing. Decisions. Who makes them? I do. And this is called the creative process. This is the process that every human being is in at every moment of their life. You can avoid other people. You could avoid going to work. You could even avoid getting out of bed in the morning. And some do, but the one thing you cannot avoid is the process by which you will create your own destiny. Now, by the end of today, you will demonstrate to the world that you've forgotten that you told me you are responsible for your thoughts and your feelings. Probably on the way home tonight, that guy in the car in front will be going a bit slow, and you'll bring out the six gun, you know, the Clint Eastwood walk through life, and you go, he's going too slow, he's irritating me. And you're saying, he's making me feel irritated. Is that true? No. The truth is, it's not him, it's me. But every time I go, you get me upset, You're making me mad. This government, I can't stand this government. Bang. I don't like what you're doing. Bang. I'm upset with you. Bang, bang, bang. It's my favorite part of the day, this. And this is the moment I go, you make me feel. No, you don't. Always me. And the moment I go, you make me upset, all my power comes down a little thread. And I disempower myself. I give you my power. I give my power away. I put what in your hands? My destiny. For 5 minutes, 5 hours, maybe 50 years, I give you my destiny. Yeah. And I play brilliant victim. Yeah? This is where victimitis comes from. You know the disease called victimitis? Much more common than stress. Victimitis. Yeah, do you have soap operas on television here?
No.
Soap operas? I think so. And so what's the whole soap opera about? Everyone's making themselves a victim of everyone else. Because they're all going, you made me upset, now you should be done. How are you doing? How are you doing? Where are you doing? Is that right?
Yeah.
Because one belief runs the world. One belief runs this world. It's not me, it's them. We have been brilliantly programmed. And so the first challenge is to get to the truth. Get the truth to replace this belief. And the truth is, it's not them, it's me. Always. 100% of the time. Yeah. Easy theory, but not so easy to practice. Yes.
So how can we be responsible for some beliefs that we don't know about that are creating our thoughts and feelings?
Because the belief is within your consciousness.
No, it's... Well, yes, but it's...
I mean, you are your consciousness.
Part of the consciousness.
Well, but then you're trying to say I'm the conscious part, but I'm not the unconscious part of my consciousness.
Yes.
Which is a nice way of saying it's still not me, it's still...
But it's like when you have children and they behave very badly.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I control these children? And how could I even control my thoughts and feelings since they all come from some beliefs that I don't know about?
Ah, okay. But then, let's say... you were a child and you grew up believing that there was a television program at Friday night at 5 o'clock was the best program to watch. And so you grew up with that belief, you were taught that belief, you lived that belief, it's not a subconscious belief. But then there's one day when you decide, you think and you decide, maybe there's another program that's on, and you switch over and you say, oh, that's a better program. So you start watching the other program. So you've just cancelled the belief that this one was best. And you've chosen another one because you challenged your own belief.
But if I don't know that I have it.
Yes, but that's the thing. That's why we're here, is to become aware.
How can I challenge anything I don't know about?
But the moment it makes itself known to you through your thinking, it's called self-awareness,
so
you
I
come
go
to
back,
know.
I go back from my feeling and thoughts and say, look, where is this belief that is creating these thoughts?
That's it, exactly.
And where do I get help?
Hold on a second. Can I ask you to answer that? I think you know the answer.
Yes, there's more than 1 year's waiting time for a psychiatrist.
Okay, so that's one option. Where else could you get help?
My mother.
Okay, where else? Keep going. There's always 7 answers to every question. Keep going. Where else could you get help?
Therapy.
For?
Life creates some incidents or accidents.
That will make you do what? That will force you to do what?
Force me to...
To look at
something.
At something called your...
Self-belief. Yes.
So yeah, and then you see it's coming from me, it's not coming from them. And that's the moment, oh, it's not them, it's me. Do you see? And that's why we're here.
But if you are such a lucky person that never had these accidents...
Oh, never mind anyone else. There's no such thing as a lucky person. But what do you see? What do you think? What do you feel? What is it that's making you feel that way? Think that way. That's why I said earlier, everyone's in a different state of readiness to look and see for themselves. That's why I said earlier, don't believe a word I say, see for yourself. It's just seeing. Does that make sense? But I think you've already, I think you're doing that anyway, aren't you? I think you're doing that already.
There is a very big difference from knowing and living.
Oh yes,
right?
For sure.
It's two different things.
From realizing and then putting the realization into practice, into action.
Yeah.
There's a gap.
Yeah.
But where do you start?
Well, I had to start there with a
By looking, by seeing, by becoming aware. That's all. This is called self-awareness. And that's why I'm saying everyone's in a different state of readiness or interest. Am I interested?
For example, you are like putting these questions to me.
Yes.
So something happens in my way of watching myself.
Yes.
But if I had not been here this afternoon,
yes,
I could maybe go in my grave in 20 years.
And yes.
Nothing would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the problem?
Then you keep me responsible for things that I don't know about.
No, I'm not responsible for things that you don't know about. How could I be responsible for something you don't know about?
You claim that I'm responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how can I be?
How can you not be?
Well, how can I be?
Responsible for what?
For things I don't know about. The beliefs that are creating all my thoughts. And all my feelings. And all my attitudes. All my actions.
Yeah, it's just that you're not aware that you are responsible.
Yes.
Yeah, that's called sleepiness. I'm asleep to my responsibility.
Yes.
And the reason I'm doing this, the purpose of doing this, is to see, can you see how you are ultimately responsible? Because what's blinding me from seeing my responsibility is one belief, and that it's not me, it's them.
Okay.
So as soon as I get, it's not them, it's me, I start looking and seeing myself for myself.
So I only need to change one belief.
That's a good start. Until you realize, and you will naturally realize, there are other beliefs to change. And that's when it becomes very interesting. And that's called waking up to your responsibility. But even when you're asleep, you're still responsible. But you don't know it yet.
But that's like sleepwalking.
Yeah,
right?
It is. That's
how
like sleepwalking.
Judge somebody that is sleepwalking.
But that's what everybody's
doing.
But everybody's doing. And they're killing other people. Well, they're actually not killing. In truth, they're not killing. Because you can't be killed ultimately, but then that's another seminar. We'll come back to that later. But that's why we're here. We're all sleepwalking. If you weren't sleepwalking, and I wasn't, and bumping into things and people and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing and feeling unhappy because of that, then life would be fine. But it's because we are asleep that we are suffering. And that's what makes us search. And the search might begin at a seminar, a book, or a guru, or whatever. And then the search, you realize, wait a minute, I'm searching outside still. I need to start looking inside. And that's where we're at. And everyone's at a different kind of space. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think you all kind of get it. Thanks for asking all the questions that everyone else wanted to ask, but didn't. Fantastic. So you ready? Fresh face of your pad. Or below this processor, somewhere around it, could I ask you just to write down all the things that trigger your stress in life today? Now you know, gotta be careful here, now you know no one else causes your stress. You know that now, don't you? In theory, at least. But what are the things that trigger? Things, people, situations, and events, they trigger certain feelings, stressful feelings. Anxiety, anger, irritation, worry, frustration, rage. You know all those stressful feelings. What are the triggers in your life today? Just do a quick list. Just one or two words for each one so you know what it is or who it is. It might just be the name of a person. As soon as they walk in the door, you're like that. You know you're a difficult person. If you have a difficult person, write them down here. Or it could be a situation that's arising in your life. Bank manager, could be the boss. You can put Mike George down if I'm triggering a bit of stress. That's okay too. But what are the triggers? The trigger. If you don't write anything down, that means you are stress-free.
Too stressed to write.
And you never experience any stress. Too stressed to write, yeah? Nice excuse, nice try. Yeah, it's good. And so that means you don't need to be here anymore. Yeah? So just write them down. It's called a brain dump, actually. It's just called a brain dump. And just to have a little list, you don't have to write lots of detail, just a little list. And then, that's probably enough actually, just pick one, select one, the main one, the big one, the one that is triggering the most stressfulness within you. Try and pick one that includes another person. They usually do, these situations. Pick one that includes another human being. Circle it, underline it, tick it, the main one. And then go on to a fresh face, or just below, and describe fully what's going on in that scenario. How you're thinking, what you're feeling, what they're doing, what you're doing. For example, my boss gives me 10 things to do on a Monday morning. I get deadlines 5 in the afternoon. By lunchtime, I got 5 things to do. By 2 o'clock, I'm running around like a headless chicken. By 3 o'clock, I could chop anyone else's head off if it comes anywhere near me. By 3:30, I could murder, I could kill, I hate. I don't want to speak to that person ever again. And so just write down exactly what's going on in your scenario, your trigger scenario. Yeah, what you're thinking, feeling, what they're doing, what you're doing. Just in 3 or 4 sentences. It's like a word picture. Just do a word picture of what's going on. Good. Anyone need a publisher? Just come back here for a second. This is the control continuum of your life. Up at this end of the line, everything over which you have no control. Here, at the end of this line, everything over which you have total control in life. What can you not control in life? What have you got no control over?
Everybody else.
Everybody else, other people, yeah. If you can control other people, can I talk to you afterwards? I'd like to know how you're doing it. What else? No control.
What does it say?
Continuum.
Continuum.
Continuum. Control continuum. And then what else? No control.
Weather.
Weather. Can't control the weather. Yeah. And what do you fight your way through to get to work?
Traffic.
Can't control the traffic. What does the government control that you'd love to control? Your tax. Now that's enough. That's enough. Because by the end of today, you will demonstrate to the world that you believe you can control what you can't control. Have you ever gone to the window and went, what a rotten, grotty day? Have you ever got upset with another human being? No, you don't do that, do you? The moment you get upset with someone, it means you're trying to control what you can't control. Now, where did you learn that? 3 years old, run into the lounge, mummy's going, what a rotten, grotty day, and daddy's going, wait till I get that guy next door, kept me awake all last night, I'm going to kill him. And at 3 years old, we're going, wow, we can control these things? And if we had a parent who says, you'll do this before you do that, and then you'll do this, we're thinking, wait till I get up there. I'm going to control someone too. And that's where we learn to believe, keyword belief, that we can control what we can't control. And what happens when you try to control what you can't control? How do you feel?
Pain.
In the form of? Frustration. And the other F word? Not that word. Not success, but?
Failure.
And what goes down every time you fail?
Self-esteem.
Self-esteem and your self-confidence. And that's why most human beings spend their entire life chipping away at their self-confidence and don't realize they're doing it because they're trying to control what you can control. Whereas you and I work on a task together, you've got 50% control, I've got 50% control over the task or the project or the process, but not over each other. Where's the only place I have total control 100% of the time? Myself, yeah, we know that theory very well. But what do people say? But I don't control me. My parents, they're so controlling. The boss, he's such a controller. This government is always controlling me. And so mummy dropped me on my head when I was 2 weeks old. That's why I can't control myself. So what am I avoiding?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. The only thing I can control is how I respond to the world around me. And that, for a human being, is where freedom has its origin. That's where choice begins. Because the one thing no one can ever take away from you is your freedom to choose how you respond. And then you have another continuum. You can be what's called proactive, or down at the end of that continuum, you can be what's called the negaholic. Do you all know what a negaholic is?
Yeah?
You sound very familiar with the negaholic. Yes? Nice blue sky, they'll go, where's the cloud? I'll find a cloud. And they're just, they're never happy. They're never happy. Yeah? Now, there's a little formula for success in life. If you take nothing away from today, you take this formula and you apply it. It's very easy to apply. E plus R equals O. E stands for the event. R stands for the response, and O stands for the life can be made very simple. Every day you have two kinds of outcomes, two kinds of results. Your relationships today, the result of all your yesterdays. Internal results, my level of self-esteem, self-confidence today, the result of all my yesterdays. Any outcomes you'd like to change in your life? Any outcomes you'd like to change?
Yeah.
Most people say, yes, please, that's why I came, that's why I'm here. Isn't that why you're here? To get different results. What do most people try to change in the formula to get to a different outcome? Most people try and change the event. Have you noticed? But you never do that. Notice the event is always in the past, and the event usually always involves other people. And the two things in life you can never ever change, the past and other people. And when you try, how do you feel? You feel frustrated, and frustration is the early form of anger. This is where all anger comes from. And whenever you get angry, it means you are clinically insane. Yeah, it's true. You're clinically insane. Fortunately, it passes. Three reasons. Number one, when you're angry, you're out of control. When you're angry, you're totally irrational. But the third reason is the real reason. Whenever you get angry, it means you're trying to do the impossible. Yeah, you're trying to do the impossible. But it's just we're not aware of it. We're not yet self-aware enough to notice I'm trying to change what can never be changed. Now, life is not black and white, for sure. Life is not that clean, because life is about relationship, and relationships are messy. Is that true? Yeah, relationships are messy. That's why leadership is messy. It's a very messy topic. It's a very messy thing. It's all about relationship. And in relationships, while we don't control each other, we do... We don't control each other, but we do... Interesting. We don't control each other, but we do... Keyword, influence. Yeah. And if you're a manager, if you're a parent, friend, that's your job. Your job is to influence others. Yeah. Now, if you as much as smell me trying to control you, if I get upset with you, what do you do? The moment you sense I'm trying to control you, what do you do? What does someone do? Put up a barrier. Up goes the barrier. I can't get in and you're not coming out. So what goes down? My ability to... Let's do it again. You don't control people, but you do influence. The moment I try to control you, you put up the barrier, and I can't get in, you're not coming out. So what goes down? My ability to influence. So the more you try to control, the less influence you will have. The less you try to control, the more influence you will have. So that's why this is the most important. Life skill, relationship skill, management skill, leadership skill, is how influential are you? That's going to define, to some extent, your success in life itself, is how well you can influence others. But what's the big mistake we make? We try to control. And that's when we lose it, basically. You know this is true. When you've got 10 minutes for a cappuccino and a chat, do you go looking for the negaholic?
No.
Unless, of course...
You are one.
You are one, yes, you are one. And then it's what we say, birds of a feather, round the coffee pot together. Yeah, you see them on Monday mornings, don't you, in the office? They gather around going, and they're moaning and groaning because they attract each other. But you don't do that. You give them a wide berth and you go towards the person who's always smiling, happy, hello, how are you doing? Because they're more attractive, therefore they have more...
Influence.
Basic principle of life. Energy of life. Isn't it? I think so. But then, why is 95% of our stress still coming from
other people?
You're not doing what I want, say, believe you should, have to, you must. Isn't it? Isn't 95% of our... Because we have, you're quite right, a subconscious belief. Planted, but embraced by us when we were very young. So you're right. And so the moment I become aware of it, this belief is running my life, I have a choice to throw it out. Yes.
What if you're in a situation where you need to work with somebody else? It could be a kid that has gotten off to a wrong track, or it could be a business relationship
yes.
that's gone wrong.
Yes.
Whatever, it could be a lot of different things where you have, there's something you need to engage in with another person.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that in practice?
Engage.
Okay.
But then what's your intention? That's the secret. What is my intention in the engagement? So let's put it into practice now. Could I ask you to go to your scenario and put a line down the middle? If this doesn't answer your question, I'll come back to it in a little while. Put a line down the middle of the page, and in the left-hand column, what I cannot control, in the right-hand column, what I can control. So in the left-hand column, what I cannot control, in the right-hand column, what I can control. Just put a line down the middle of the page, underneath your description of your scenario. Can't control, can control. And then do a little analysis. Just do a little analysis of your scenario. Untangle the ingredients which you cannot and which you can control. For example, I can't control the amount of work my boss gives me, but I can control the time I give to each task. I can't control the deadline, but I can control the quality to which I do each task. I can't control what my boss thinks and says about me, but I can control my attitude towards them. So untangle the ingredients of your scenario and see if you can get a separation into those two categories. Just take a moment and see if you can get that sense of what you cannot and what you can control in the scenario, your trigger scenario. It's quite easy, really. Can I ask you just to wait for a second? Because if you ask the question, everyone's attention will come from that too.
I just want you to repeat the last thing.
Which was? So you've got the line down the middle. You have two columns, cannot control, can control. So analyze your scenario and pull out the ingredients from each. See? The bits of your trigger scenario. Do some fresh air, do you think? That's good. And then, underneath that, once that's not too difficult to get clear, could you just identify at the bottom what you can't influence in your scenario? What are the things you can influence? Now you've got what I can control, but then what can you influence?
I don't understand.
So
what's the difference from what I can control?
So that's for you. Now you have to look at it and just get a sense. What can I influence? Okay, you've got what you can control.
Yeah.
You've got what you can control. Now look at the scenario again, and what can you influence? That's all. Look at the ingredients again, and what can you influence here? Influence.
I think she doesn't understand the difference between control and influence.
Is that what you're asking? What's the difference between control and influence?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? What's the difference between control and influence?
Yes.
But that I you didn't hear what I was saying? When you try to control, you lose influence.
Yes.
Okay, you got that.
Yes.
So there's got to be a difference, right?
Okay.
Yeah. See it?
Yes.
Good. Everyone else okay? Do they get it? Difference? Good. And so now I'd like you to get together with another stranger, not the one stranger before, but another stranger, so you don't need a lawyer afterwards. And then you just share your scenario, 3 or 4 minutes each, how you've broken it down, see if it feels right as you talk about it, and help the other as well if it's not clear. Just for 3 or 4 minutes each, one other person. Hello, how are you? I am. How is your cake today? And just get the formalities out of the way. And then share your scenario, 3 or 4 minutes each, of how you've broken it down. Fantastic. Good. Turn around, look around, say hello, another person that you meet.